On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Welcome to Unforced Errors number 42. Let's talk. Robinson along with you for a Wednesday night. Been a week or two since we did one of these. There's been plenty going on the network, though. I'm sure you've been able to check that out for yourself. A couple of shows that have gone up. For those of you subscribed, you'll notice that there's a new Tall Can Sports tonight. Those of you that pick this up on the website or on our different social media feeds, you'll have to wait till Thursday afternoon when it gets posted there. Or, of course, you can do exactly what we would hope you would do, and that would be head over and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, anywhere you find your podcasts. Just type in Tall Can Audio. You will find us, no problem. Lots, like I said, going on around the network. Rob and I had a conversation on, I believe it was Tall Can Sports number 108, where we took a look back at our preseason NHL predictions, and they are in shambles. So we had that to look at. We had some sound clips from those original previews to show you just how far off we were. That was a fun show to do, to be honest with you, because there have been some surprises this season, and so it was kind of cool to be able to look back at that, no matter how wrong we both may have been. Also, audio whiplash. We talked a little bit about the new law in Ontario that requires restaurants to put their calorie count on the menu. Poked a little fun at that. Also talked about Trump and the inauguration. And asked the question, it's kind of easy right now to sit up here in Canada and poke fun and, you know, we're going to have a front row seat to whatever's going to go on down there. But the question needs to be asked, are we headed down the same road? We have some radical, maybe not to the extent of Donald Trump, because that might be a one in a million guy that you people have elected. But are we headed down a similar road with people like Kevin O'Leary, who's kind of a radical? Radical is the wrong word. Certainly, as I said, nothing like Donald Trump. But he's a different kind of guy. Kelly Leach might be closer to Donald Trump in terms of some of her stances on immigrants, especially, in screening people for Canadian values, whatever the fuck that's going to look like. So, you know, we talked about that a little bit and how we are not immune to this stuff. It's starting to happen around the world. Angela Merkel in Germany looks like, that government may be on their way out in favor of something a little more radical. Same thing in France. Brexit just went down in the United Kingdom. This is not something isolated to the United States. The world is in an interesting place right now. And kind of in a volatile place right now, and it would be irresponsible to suggest that Canada is immune to that for some reason. So, talked about that on Audio Whiplash. So, like I said, some good stuff going on around the network right now, worth your time. We, every now and then, like to check out some of these more serious issues, and we still have a little fun with it, but, Tonight, a couple things to get to. Wanted to talk first about Bell Let's Talk. It's a fantastic initiative, goes down every year around this time. And wanted to get into that a little bit because it never seems to go by without controversy. And after that, we're going to talk a little Leafs. As they have one game left at time of recording before the All-Star break. And they're in an interesting place that I don't think many people expected them to be. Bell Let's Talk. As I sit down this evening to record this, about 10:30, they are reporting that they have surpassed 100 million mentions, you know, shares, tweets. For those of you who don't know, I can't imagine that you haven't heard of this. Even those of you in the U.S. probably had it from time to time sprinkled into your Twitter feeds. It's something that one of Canada's major telecom companies started a few years back, and for every share of their video, every hashtag Bell Let's Talk that gets used on Twitter and Instagram, things like that, they'll donate 5 cents to mental health organizations, awareness, these sorts of things, right? It's a great cause, and they do a good job with it. So at time of recording, they say, at least on Twitter, they have surpassed last year's totals, which is great. I see that they have, in general, surpassed 100 million uses across all the social media platforms that they do this on. So, I mean, that's great. And, you know, a little simple math will tell you that puts them at about 5 million bucks with an hour and a half to go that they're going to donate to some of these causes, which is awesome. And it really is. Before I get into some of the negative, mental health is a little something different to everybody in terms of your own perspective on it, in terms of what you might be dealing with. There's a lot of people out there that don't necessarily even know they're dealing with something. They just feel like this is normal. And it takes a little time to realize that maybe it isn't. Maybe your chemistry is just a little off. Maybe you're going through something tough, right? It happens to everybody at some point or another, but the degree is where it starts to get confusing or where it starts to get difficult, and you can't be afraid to talk about it. And it's unfortunate that this only happens once a year, but that one day a year is always fantastic. You see people sharing their story that clearly they've never shared before. You see a ton of people trying their very hardest to show it's okay, right? We can talk about this. You can come forward. An organization that's been started by Michael Landsberg in Toronto. He's a sports personality there called Sick Not Weak. And I think that's a fantastic hashtag in and of itself that they've been using. I think it's a worthwhile. It's a really important thing to differentiate. For the longest time, a lot of people, before the, you know, light started to get shed on this, you know, kind of looked at it as, yeah, we all have a bad day. Fucking get over it. You don't necessarily understand how tough it can be for some people that are going through something, right? That are having a hard time, and it's not as simple as just your average bad day. You know, they're actually battling something. And it's important that that gets looked at as a disease, as a sickness, instead of weakness. And so Sick Not Weak is something that it's very simple, but it couldn't be more well said. And so as we cross through Bell Let's Talk and we do it for another day, the support has been fantastic. People are showing that they're, at least for one day, prepared to be there to help someone, to share their story, to help someone else get better if they've been through something themselves, maybe they can help, or just to listen. Like, I've seen it said a bunch of times today, and it does seem to be the most important part of all this. Sometimes it's not about talking. Sometimes you need to know when to listen, because it's someone else's time to talk, right? That's often, you don't need to put your own opinion on it. You don't need to necessarily try to fix it. maybe this person just needs to talk. And you can do so much good by just listening. So, I think it's an awesome thing that Bell has done. Initially, I was one of the many people who was cynical that when it was started, it was hashtag Bell Let's Talk. Like why they had to include their name in it. It couldn't have just been Let's Talk. I read something today that explained it a little bit better, and you can still be a little cynical about it if you want to. There's no doubt that Bell partially is doing this for the publicity, right? They look good in this sort of thing, and it costs them money to do it. But largely, this is a very positive thing, and putting their name in it helps them stay attached to it. It paints them in that positive light. But also, are you taking this as seriously? Are as many Canadians taking this as seriously? And this is where I've kind of pulled back my cynicism after reading a couple of things about it. If it's Kudo Let's Talk Day. Right? Like, or one of these other smaller kind of... Having Bell attached to it, you're talking about one of the biggest companies in the country. A name everybody knows. And them putting their heft behind it, which they have done. They have stepped up across their TV networks, across their radio networks, on all their social media feeds, everywhere. This is everywhere, right? And so it is a publicity thing to a certain extent. But they're doing good things with this. And so, you know, to a certain extent, why shouldn't they get a little recognition to it? But it does constantly remind people that this is a big company that is stepping forward and saying, we're going to help this, right? And it does add Bell's heft to it, which is important. So that has reduced my cynicism on that a little bit. I think it's fair that they... You know, it's Bell Let's Talk Day. Maybe initially I didn't, but at this point, you know. I did want to talk a little bit about, there's been some controversy drummed up in this thing. There always is. There's always someone who wants to, I want to be careful here because there's some legitimate stuff happening and there's some crap happening. When you're on social media, you always understand that there's one guy who wants to stand out, who wants to be controversial or different. And being anti something like this is an easy way to do that. On a day when the wide majority of people are taking a little time to contribute in a very small way, if you step out and say this is stupid or they're hypocrites or they're whatever, you draw a little attention to yourself, sometimes fairly, and sometimes because you're just a douchebag. I can't go through all of them case by case. The internet's a big place. There's a story going around, and I've read a few stories on it. I've seen some of the comments. I've done this and that. I don't want to mention any names, because I just, honestly, I haven't decided how I feel about it. Whether I want to dignify some of this, whether or not I'd rather just let it slide. But here's the story without any names. For those of you who don't know, most of you do, Bell owns it's not just your phone company, right? They own a series of TV stations and a series of radio stations. A story breaks today, and it's no coincidence that it's today, that a woman worked for a Bell radio station out west and went to her boss with a doctor's note that said, I need 2 weeks off to adjust to these new medications. The medications were to help with her mental health. I don't know if it was, you know, it doesn't say whether it was bipolar or depression or whatever. It doesn't really matter. It was a mental health issue. She was ill, and her doctor had prescribed her this and said, you should be off work for 2 weeks while you get used to these medications. So she goes to her boss at this Bell radio station and says, this is what needs to happen. Her boss is not particularly receptive, and within a matter of days, she's been fired. Now, for some further background, apparently, she had never been reprimanded at work, had never had any other kind of issues, and allegedly there was conversation that within the next couple of months, she would take over the radio station's morning show. For those of you who don't know, the morning show, despite having to get up at like 4 in the morning every day, is kind of king of the radio. That's when most people are listening. And you know that. And when you get up in the morning, maybe you throw on the radio when you get in your car to drive to work or to your train or whatever you might be doing to commute. You'll throw on the, maybe you're just looking for local weather or news, whatever it might be. That is the big slot. That and the drive home show. Because when people are in their cars, that's when most people listen to the radio. So the morning show is the big get. So by saying that she had been told by her boss there was a chance she was going to move to the morning show would indicate that she's doing well at her job. You don't put your worst people on in the morning because that's when the most people are listening. Most people in the radio industry would view moving to the morning show as a promotion. So she gets fired. She tries to contact some higher up people. She doesn't get anywhere with that. That story, of course, breaks today. Because it paints Bell in a pretty negative light, and maybe they deserve to be. Depending on how high up this has gone, Bell has responded and said, we don't want to talk about individual employees in public, but we have reached out to her to try and get to the bottom of this. Here's my problem with the story. Because Bell is getting, not by everybody, but by a certain amount of people who would like to be negative, and people are calling Bell a hypocrite. Or not a hypocrite, that's a big company, calling Bell hypocritical. They're saying that you can't be out here trumpeting this type of open-mindedness and open conversation while your company is firing people who are dealing with the exact same thing. Here would be my point. Do you have any idea how many people work for Bell? It turns out I do. A little bit of research. Just quick number will tell you it's over 49,000 people across Canada work for this company. That might be the person who, you know, is calling you to bug you and asking you to upgrade your internet service. That might be the person on the morning show that you listen to on your local radio station. Might be Bob McKenzie breaking trades for your 49,000 people across a few different companies that Bell owns. Why does that matter? It's possible that Bell can be doing the right thing here and have one douchebag program manager at this radio station in Alberta. When you have 49,000 people is a reasonable sized city. Are you suggesting that in a 50,000 a city of 50,000 people, there's no douchebags living there? Bell needs to fix this, for sure. I have a hard time believing we've gotten all the facts, but this looks bad. But it's unfair to say that Bell doesn't care about these sorts of things. And believe me, I love to roast these companies because most of the time I do find they treat their customers, at least, I don't know how they treat their employees, they treat their customers like shit most of the time, I find. So I'm not normally one to stand up here and say that, you know, we need to be more fair to Bell or Rogers. But they're doing a good thing here, and it's possible that the program director at that radio station doesn't share Bell's enthusiasm for trying to be open-minded to mental health issues. 50,000 people, just shy of that, work for this company. You expect every single one of them to believe in what their employer believes in. I think you need to be careful here. I think we need to be a little more fair to this woman who's had this happen to her. Clearly she's battling something. Clearly Bell owes her either her job back or an explanation. Maybe this jackass that they have working for them that fired her requires some sort of education or reprimand. But to paint an entire company as hypocritical because one of their 49,000 employees, it's not like Bill Cope who is the absolute tip-top head CEO of Bell, flew out to the middle of nowhere in Alberta to fire one radio employee. That's not how it works. Every company has a chain of command, and it's possible that somewhere in theirs, way down the ladder, long away from the people who are deciding how much money they're going to donate to these issues, right? Way down the ladder from that, there's just an asshole who said that's a terrible reason. Maybe he doesn't understand mental health. Maybe he does and he just doesn't care. But to paint an entire company based on one shitty employee is pretty ridiculous. So, just a little, you know, thing to keep in mind as you read this negative story. It's fair to wonder why that happened. It's fair to want an answer as to why she's gone through this and what they're going to do to make it right. It would be unfair to paint an entire company who actually has found a way to do something positive under a hypocritical, whatever you want to call it, right? To paint them all as hypocrites is ridiculous. So I would encourage you to think much bigger than this one story. And it's not a good story, but you have to think bigger. And if you're just one of these people on Twitter who wants to be different, who wants to start shit for no reason, can you just go away for one day so you don't agree with it? You don't have to try and convince the whole world that they're wrong. You can just sit back, let this happen, and then carry on with your life. Because it's only going to be here for one day. Just get over it. You don't have to be the star of every story that rolls across your Twitter feed. All right. Enough with the serious stuff. Let's get into the stuff that really doesn't matter. The Leafs continue to actually be good. They win again, 4-0 over the Detroit Red Wings. Freddie Anderson, that's his second shutout in a row. Of course, shut out the Flames on Monday by the same 4-0 score. Becomes the first goalie for the Maple Leafs to post a shutout since, and I'm going to give you a second, think about it. Those of you who are hardcore fans, when was the last time you remember a goalie posting back-to-back shutouts for Toronto? And it's not something stupid like it was 1998 or anything like that, but you do have to go back about 3 years. Ben Scrivens was the last to do it in the 2013 season, coming off in the shortened season there. I know one of them was against Ottawa. I remember that, but I can't remember the other. But that was the last time. So it's been a while since the Leafs have been getting goaltending that would provide them that kind of stability. They did a masterful job against Detroit. They played a perfect road game. You go in there, you get one early to kind of take the crowd out of it, although the crowd seemed to be almost 50-50 Leaf fans. It's almost unfair that Leafs get to play home games in Detroit, in Buffalo, in Ottawa, oh, and in Toronto. Kind of strange how that works out. It was a very loud Leaf contingent tonight in Detroit, and so that was fun to watch. Auston Matthews scores another one. Nikita Sashnikov gets his second goal of the year, first since November. That's not good. But it was a good road game, right? When you go in, you do all the things you're supposed to do. They have a back-to-back coming. They're going to play Philly tomorrow in Philly. Tonight, for most of you, I guess, by the time you listen to this. Philly will also be on a back-to-back, so we'll see. Babcock has confirmed that Curtis McElhinney will make his second start as a Leaf in that game, which shouldn't surprise anyone. They went out and got a backup to use him. The one that they had, they were not able to use. He was pretty terrible, so they shipped him out. And so Curtis McElhinney will make that start. A couple of numbers to kick around here when you're talking about the Leafs. Most importantly, maybe right now, for the immediate future, Morgan Rielly has been out for 4 games now. The Leafs are 2-1-1 in those games. So they're keeping their heads above water, right? And it means, and I don't think they would have done it anyway, because it's kind of crazy to think that way, but it means you don't rush him back. If you had lost three or four in a row, not, it starts to get real hard to keep holding him out of the lineup. But when you've won two out of those four games and the other one of the losses was in overtime, you're doing okay. So you've got one game to get to the All-Star break, which buys him an extra few days of rest. You just leave him sit. You just leave him out. The worst that can happen now is that you go 2-2, 2-2-1 in those games, and he's probably good to go after the All-Star break. He's been skating. So we'll see how that goes. So I would say, though, do not bet on Morgan Riley returning in that game. It just doesn't make any sense at this point. The Leafs have not lost a game in regulation on the road since November. Like, think about that for a second. They are 9-0-2 on the road over the last 2 months. That is a franchise record, actually, for those of you interested. The team's pretty old. Hasn't been recent, but they've had good teams in the past. They've never had a record like this before on the road. At least not over this long, right? It's really interesting to see where they're at. The other big number right now is that they are 12-3-4 in their last 19 games. That would put them on pace over the course of an entire season, which no one expects them to keep this pace, for 121 points. That's pretty good. They kind of got off to this rough start, and they blew a couple of leads. But since November, this team has been very good. Very good. And I've said it a few times on here, on Tall Can Sports, they have to cool off. No team, especially with this many rookies, especially with a defense like this, stays this hot, right? That's not going to happen. You got to expect some of these rookies to hit the wall a little bit, and I don't think that means that they're done for the season, but they're going to have a week or two where it's not any good. I think as long as that doesn't all happen at the same time, like Nylander, Marner, and Matthews don't all hit that wall at the same time, you should be okay. You should keep your head above water. They pull ahead of Boston again in the standings, and they just keep that five games in hand, right? Like, man, Boston's got to stay good. Like, even if Toronto only wins two out of those five games in hand, imagine the pace that Boston has to cut, because they're already behind, and now they've got to make up the points they're behind, plus the 4 points the Leafs pick up in those two wins in the five games in hand. It starts to look pretty good. The Leafs are starting to pull away here. They're only 1 point up on Boston, but they're 5 points up on Florida. They're 6 points up on a bunch of teams that are all tied at 49. I don't expect them to stay this hot. I've said that enough times. But every win they get before they hit whatever slump is going to come is huge. If they can grab a win in Philly going into that All-Star break, the team should feel unbelievable. At some point, it's going to be different for everybody. At some point, you got to believe they're for real this year. When does that happen? Is it if they win tomorrow in Philly? Is that enough? Is it the middle of February or the end of February hitting the trade deadline, where I don't think they're going to do much even if they're in it? They're not going to trade away the future for the sake of right now. We've seen that before. It doesn't work. But is that the point where they're still in second or third place? Or do you actually have to see them make it before you're ready to buy in? They're starting, with every game that goes by, to look like this is for real. It's an interesting comparison with Edmonton. Edmonton's been going through this rebuild thing for a whole lot longer, and Connor McDavid might be the best player in the world right now. And they're significantly ahead of Toronto in points accumulated, I believe. I should have checked the West standings before jumping on it. Here, I only checked the East. When are you ready to believe Edmonton's for real? I think most people are there now. But at some point, you've been burned for so long as a Leaf fan, as an Oiler fan, that you're just waiting for something awful to happen. And maybe it's not gonna. Maybe your team is that good right now. I'm getting real close to being there for Toronto. If they can win that game in Philly, really head into the All-Star break on a high, right there with second place Ottawa in the division, man, it's going to be tough to come back out of that feeling like you're not a big part of this race, right? Like you're not in control, because they are in control. There's kids. There's a lot of things that could go wrong. They need Riley to come back and play really well. They need Anderson to stay, not consecutive shutout good, but they need him to stay good. But they control their own destiny now. Like, that's the thing you have to keep in mind. They'll make some mistakes, and there's going to be some losses, probably some bad ones, but they are in control right now until the end of the season. You're ahead of everybody that you need to be ahead of to get in, and you have games in hand on most of them. That means it's totally up to you. You just keep playing well, stay a little over 500, you should probably cruise right in there. All those other teams need big things to happen and need Toronto to slump. Toronto doesn't need that. Toronto just needs to keep doing their thing. And it's the same thing out west in Edmonton right now. You put enough points in the bank, you play well enough for long enough, you just got to keep steady. So we'll see. I believe last night when I looked, those five Canadian teams holding down playoff spots, wouldn't that be unbelievable? I think Rogers would be okay with that. After having seasons where no Canadian teams made the playoffs, imagine the ratings. And you're starting to look like, in some cases, now Calgary's got to get it together. But you could see a Calgary-Edmonton first round. You could see a Toronto-Ottawa first round or a Toronto-Montreal first round. So it's not just that these teams could get in. Now, you'd be disappointed if you're Rogers that one of them's going home after the first round, guaranteed on that. But for that couple of weeks, your ratings will be through the roof. If you have a battle of Alberta and a battle of Ontario in the first round, can you imagine? It's been decades since there was that much excitement around the playoffs in Canada. So anyway, we'll wrap this up. I just wanted to talk quickly about the Bell Let's Talk thing. I think it's a great initiative. And I've kind of had enough of the people who want to stand out in the face of something that the whole world is doing just so that they can stand out. And the Leafs, I always like to just throw around the stats. They're on pace for a 98-point season. That would be tied for the fifth best season that the franchise has ever had. And I don't know who you are. I don't care who. You didn't see that coming. Not this year. So it's kind of fun. That's probably going to do it. This is Unforced Errors. My name's Matt Robinson. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all on the next one.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.